Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Now Time Conversations here, coming live from Cottonwood, Alabama. I have my guests and cohorts in this process here right in the studio with me. I have tonight Danette Williams and Owen Williams, and we're going to be talking more about the work that they're doing. We want to really have this program. We decided to just jump in because there's so much happening in the earth, so much happening with around the world that we felt, you know, it's time for us to start recognizing that while we are seeing so much negative being brought towards us, that the energy that can transform everything is the energy that we each hold inside. And you know where that comes from. That comes right out of our everlasting room.
Open up your eyes. These are ever-changing times.
these are ever-changing times, and you're listening to the sounds of Aja singing ever-changing times. The show tonight is called Now Time Conversations, and it's the first episode of Now Time Conversations, and I'm your host, Audrey Scott Williams. I'm a former global peace walker, author, licensed religious science practitioner, and your radio host this evening. I am joined in the studio with Owen B. Williams, former athlete and entrepreneur, and Danette Williams, entrepreneur, event planner, and motivational coach. We are so excited to have this opportunity to have a conversation that we hope inspires our listeners and gives them an opportunity to hear this dynamic team sharing their journeys, their thoughts, and what drives them. Sometimes against all odds, to live boldly while inspiring listeners to follow their soulful yearning to live their best life. So, Owen, welcome to Now Time Radio. This is Now Time Conversations. And why don't you share a little bit about your past with our listening audience? Kind of give us a sense of what you've come through, where you've been, and what's on the horizon for you.
Good evening, Audrey. Good evening, all of you in listening land. I just want to say it all started when I was in high school. It was a chance to really utilize my ability and my talent. I played a lot of sports. Football was my favorite sport. I went to college on a football scholarship and had a chance to do a lot of other things as far as taking it to a level. I appreciate all of you tonight being here. And without listening and doing what has to be done in a lifetime, we have to repeat and do it all over again. So I just want to put out the word that whatever you do, whatever talent you have, always take advantage of yourself and your future from right now until the end of time.
So, Owen, as you we speak to you about the different challenges that you've had on your journey, when you felt you were at your lowest peak, what lifted you up? What brought you back in the game?
Well, I have to say my family, my coaches, and one of my best friends died right after a football game. And it took me a while to get back to the reality of the relationship that we had, and just both of us were on our way to excel in athletics and in school. And it really made a difference and made a change in my life.
So what do you hope that those listening to the audience, especially, let's say, some of those other young athletes like yourself or young people who started out on a journey and need some inspiration to go forward, what would you say to them?
I would say whatever you're doing right now, put God first, put school first, and utilize your inner self and your God-given talent. Always believe that you can do anything athletically, academically, but the most important point is to stay focused on what you're doing. There are many distractions in life and many distractions for young black athletes. The main thing is keep your head to the sky and believe in God and believe in yourself. There is no limitations where you can go.
Okay, well, you know, that's great advice because, you know, we've all had our challenges and our opportunities in life, and sometimes it's when you hit that rough spot that you really find out what you're all about. And that's one of the things, Owen, that I think I share with you and what I share with young people is don't plan your life like you're not going to hit the rough spots. I don't care who you are. There are going to be some times that are going to test you. But look at that as a positive thing because through that testing, you get to strengthen your soul, if you will. You get to strengthen your own fortitude for being able to bounce back. And when you do that, when you come back from something that has been a hard road and you find yourself back on top. There's nothing like that feeling, I'm sure.
Without a doubt. It's almost like having a bad injury on the field. What you have to realize is that no matter what you're going through, you have to sit back, relax, work yourself out, and be what God wanted you to be, what your coaches want you to be, what your teammates want you to be. Be that light that shines on that field and in the classroom. Because if you're not, you're going to have to do it all over again.
Yeah.
We need young black athletes today that are really understanding and really take advantage of the position that they are in right now.
Yeah, and take advantage of that position by not only helping and securing their own future, but being mindful of what's important and always reaching back to help everybody move to the top. You know, that's one of the things I find now. Sometimes our young athletes are a great example. I was reading the other day, and I can't remember his name, but there. I think even LeBron James has started a school. He built the school, he staffed the school, he runs the school, and every student in the school is guaranteed, if they keep their grades up, a scholarship through college. I mean, wow, what an example that is. I was reading the other day about a young athlete that I don't remember his name, but he is taking his money, reinvesting it in his community to help his community be strong, nutritional programs and all kind of programs. So I think that as we, let's say if you're an athlete, an actress, an entertainer, and you have access to resources or a very powerful entrepreneur who's making a lot of money, always remember it's about giving back as well as enjoying what, you know, reaping what you sow, because I think you should enjoy the fruits of your labor. And we always need to remember there's one love, and that love will always bring us back to take care of those who are who maybe don't have all the advantages that we have, but we can lift them up and create a path for them. And, you know, nobody says it better than Bob Marley. You know, one love, that really is what it's all about, just that one love.
One love, one love.
So remember, holding on to that love and having that love flourish in all the right ways in your life can take you to the top. Speaking of taking you to the top, let's take a moment and welcome Danette Williams to the microphone. Danette is an entrepreneur. She's been an event planner for many years and a motivational coach. Danette, welcome to Now Time Conversations.
Hi, audience.
Yeah. So, Danette, give us a little bit of background on you and what you feel that you've learned from your life experiences that can be and will be a benefit to, you know, to those who are hearing your story.
Well, my name is Danette Williams. I'm from the Virgin Islands, and today, a great topic, Ms. Audrey. I would advise and tell my audience, never give up. Giving up is not an option. Persevere no matter what. Even when obstacles come your way, when you think that there's no way, you just keep persevering and be optimistic. Positive thinking will get you through.
Now, have you ever had tough spots in your life?
Yes, definitely.
And how did you overcome those?
You overcome by persevering. You find different avenues that would detour your mind from thinking negatively. And just no is not an option. Giving up is not an option. I can't. Those aren't any options. But you have to believe in yourself, believe in just making it and being successful. And, you know, with that thinking in mind and being optimistic, you can get it, you know, you can get anything accomplished that you set your mind to do.
Well, what about somebody who's listening and saying, you know, all this sounds good and we hear all about the positive thinking, but has anybody really had it tough? Has anybody really had a tough life like I'm having, or they might say that are being confronted with issues that I'm confronted with and where I just feel like I've fallen down and there is no getting up? What would you say to them?
I would say that everyone's situation is definitely different. I have had different obstacles in my life that really have hit rock bottom, from child sexual abuse to financial hardships. But what I always focus on is that I cannot stay rock bottom. I would do whatever it takes to rise up and definitely look for the support system. Your circle, your support circle is also very important, that you surround yourself with people that would uplift you and not keep you down, you know, rock bottom. And I would just, my advice to everyone, there are many alternatives. Never feel as though that you cannot rise. You can rise and motivate yourself. Do what it takes. Listen to motivational speakers. Do whatever it takes. You can rise up. You don't have to settle for being on the rock bottom. And yes, I've hit rock bottom and I'm on my rise right now.
Demonstrate unity, all walks of life, red, yellow, brown, black, white. We the genders, colors, creeds of the nation manifest here and now as a loving demonstration of what is achieved when we are together and express to the world how to make things better. The children of the world build and stand courageous, loving and kind, doing our best, taking
our
time.
We're gonna keep on walking.
Turn us around.
talking about. That's exactly what we're talking about here on Now Time Conversations. This is a program that will be coming to you every evening as we seek to shift the paradigm from one of so much bad news to identifying, some of the good news that's out there. What are people doing out there that is making us all pay attention and want to be better and do better and know that it's in us, the answers are in us. You know, I've had a rough week looking at the rainforest on fire, looking at the children at the border, looking at our system of injustice where we have so much of our population in prisons, especially our young black men and now black women, or women of color, men of color. It gets so frustrating sometimes when I look at those numbers, over 700% more of our population in prison than any other country in the world. That means we're warehousing human beings and we're becoming, just kind of like it's a part of the everyday norm, and more blaming the victims. Well, these children that are going to prison, these children that are stuck in concentration camps on the border, they are not the authors of their story at this moment. We are making decisions. It reminds me very much of Nazi Germany or even the time with the Atlantic slave trade or the Holocaust with the Native American community here in North America, where, you know, all these atrocities are happening and we're all continuing to just go about life as though we are powerless over the situation. We're not powerless. We are power-filled. We are powerful beyond measure, and it is up to us to realize this. You know, our prayers have power. Our thoughts have power. What we put into our consciousness resonates at that frequency. So if you're putting in all the negative, if you're thinking only of the bad, if you're thinking of what's the worst that can happen, you leave no room to imagine a future that can work for all. So we want to just inspire some Now Time Conversations, those who are listening, as we inspire each other right here in the studio. So I want to go back to our guest. I want to talk with Owen for a moment. I want to ask Owen, I heard that when you were in college, I think it was your freshman year, being the only freshman to start in a championship football game, I heard that in the last seconds of the game, when it looked like A&T was going to beat North Carolina Central and they were already in the posture of celebrating, that you kicked nearly a 50-yard field goal, and that celebration was short-lived as North Carolina Central became the champion. I just want to know, what was it that got into you? You know, kicking a 50-yard field goal back then, or close to it, was kind of unheard of. What did you feel like when you went out there on that and to get ready to kick that field goal? Did you know you had it, or was anything going on in your mind?
Yes, well, I was always taught by my father and my coaches, anything is possible, and I knew I had the distance. It was just a matter of just believing in myself and going on out there and doing what God has always made it possible for me to do. I would say I prayed for it and went out. I did not worry about it. I know my team was behind me, blocking for me. All I had to do was take the snap and kick the field goal. And it was a blessing. It was a big blessing in my life because I did it in high school and junior high. It was just a blessing.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you know, not many people have that moment where you have absolute sense of, you know, something magical like that happening, which is why I wanted to ask you about that. Was that a life changer for you?
It was a life changer in many ways. It was something that I've always worked out for and trained for, and I knew anything is possible out there on the football field. And I just thank God that working with younger people, trying to let them see that they can do anything possible, with just going to train, work out, go to classes, and the sky is the limit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Danette, I want to come back to you on that same question. What was a moment for you when you felt like you had reached that triumphant moment of, wow, you know, like I want to high-five the angels. This really came out well. Have you ever had one of those moments?
Yes, I have. I've had actually, several moments. One in specific that I can recall just occurred recently in April. For many years, I was determined to look for my dad and never give up. I persevered. And one day, God made a way that I had the privilege of actually meeting my biological dad for the first time. The feeling, oh my goodness, it's just a very joyous feeling that you have within. And it's also a lesson that you can apply to many areas of your life. Never give up. Just keep persevering. Even when things look as though you may not, you know, attain your goal, just keep towards it. Stay focused and pray, you know, a whole lot, and God will make a way for you to, you know, get the things that you would aspire.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. I've had a few of those moments in my life myself, and I know it's very humbling on the one hand, because it's like you got to high-five God, because in your own mind and on your best day, you couldn't make this stuff up. But when it happens, it certainly it does humble you in a bit, but it also gives you that sense of knowing and a better sense of understanding who you are, and that if you could do it then, you could do it again. So the next time, you know, we'll all have, as I said in the beginning of the show, we'll all have our bumps along the way. But when we remember, we have those moments to draw back on, then we know that whatever we need is inside of us, and, you know, we got this. We got this.
Yes, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so let's do, you know, we're coming into the last half hour, and what I'd like to do is, let's hear a little bit of Marvin Gaye. I know that we've been talking about Mercy, Mercy Me, and then we're going to come back and round up our conversation for this evening. But let's hear a little bit of Marvin Gaye and see how much that's affecting us right now, that same energy that inspired him to write this. How are we identifying with it now in our in society around us? We'll talk a little bit about that before we end this particular conversation. So here we are listening to Mercy, Mercy Me.
Whoa, oh, mercy, mercy me. All things ain't what they used to be now. Where did all the blue skies go? Poison is the from the north and south and east. Oh, mercy, mercy me. All things and what they used to be lost. Oil wasted on the oceans and upon our seas. Fish full of mercury. Oh, mercy, mercy me. They used to do now. Radiation underground and in the sky. Animals and birds who live nearby all the night. Oh, mercy, mercy me. All things and what they used to be. What about this overcrowded land? How much more do you from men? Can't you stand? Thank you.
mercy, mercy me. Things are not what they used to be. How can we move from that space to a place of a world that works for all? That is certainly the question. And the most powerful way of revealing that to me is sharing our stories. We each have a story. And the story that sometimes we try to hide from the world is the very story that people around us need to hear to be authentically inspired. And so I'm going to just turn the mic over to Owen B. Williams. As I said, Owen's a former athlete, actor, and entrepreneur. He's been through a lot in his lifetime. And I'm just going to say, Owen, just take the mic and give us a message and that really just comes from your heart.
Thank you. And I just want to start out by saying it's been a blessing to be alive right now and to be able to sit here with you and be on your show, because I guess in my past, I was up to the top of my athletic career, and then I was down at the bottom of my own life. And as a result, it took me through a lot of changes in my life and my family. But the most important thing is I made it back. And for all these young people today out here now, it's very important that no matter what you're doing, always put your family first, put God there. And no matter what your talent is, you have to be able to utilize your talent, your education, and just be a gentleman and just do what you have to do to maintain and just be the best that you can be. It's very important not to get caught up in the mix, because our young children, a lot of them don't make it past junior high school, high school, the drug game, death game. We all get caught up in some games, but it's very important to be around the right people, the right coaches, your parents, your church. Be the best that you can be. And thank God that you are alive, that you have people that are working with you and pushing you to be the best that you can be.
I know that's right, Owen. That's such a powerful message. I hope those of you who are listening, really doing some deep listening and hearing what Owen had to say. You know, I know his life story. And I know that he's a miracle. He's a walking miracle. But it had to be something in his soul, something in his spirit that gave him what he needed, the food to know when to grasp out and hold on to a lifeline and pull himself to shore and stand on his feet again. What do you say about that, Amy?
I guess the most important thing is for the young, especially our own children, the young black children, especially the males, there are so many distractions that can happen to you at an early age, especially if you have a lot of talent. People will come at you with all kinds of things that aren't really positive at all.
Let's just keep it real. Drugs, women, money, right?
But just like you said, with me, I went away to school, to football camps every summer when I was in high school. And going there, they eventually got me to come to Virginia to play ball and got me a place to stay, and everything was wide open, the drugs, the women, the teachers, and it wasn't all about you as a person, or you as maintaining your education and being the best that you can be. It was all about winning games, and it was a sad situation because a lot of the black athletes just didn't have a chance or the opportunity to do what we could do our best at. And as time went on, you can also get very addicted to the environment. And plus, when you have teachers and the streets and everything coming at you, and yet you're on your own, it's really hard for you to stay focused at such a young age. But I'm so glad that I made it back, because I was really gone, and I made it back. And even in college, when I first went to North Carolina Central, being a freshman, it was like playing ball but not going to class. And, you know, the whole time I was there, being all MBAC and the leading school of the MBAC and at North Carolina Central, winning the championship for us and everything, it was just, why didn't they care about what I was doing or going to classes instead of just winning games? It was almost like they didn't know, I didn't want to know, as long as they were winning games. And I thank God that I made it back through all that life, because the drugs, the dope, the heroin, the everything else, the women, it was just something that could have taken me out. But I thank God that I'm here and able to talk to you. And I hope you young athletes realize that there's so much that you can do. Get yourself in the best shape you ever have ever been in. And it'll take you through your life, not only athletically, but doing everything that's in your life. Once your mind gets to the point of excelling, you will always be the best that you can be. Put God first and make it work.
Yeah, I think that, you know, not only physically preparing yourself, but also, you know, hitting those books, studying, holding everything in your life at the same standard that you hold your body, so that your mind can be as strong as your body in terms of making good choices for the future. Because not everybody that plays football is going to have an opportunity to have a pro career.
You know, it's really important, because as a freshman, most of the times freshmen don't start or play their first freshman year. And as far as going to classes, if you don't take advantage of what's there for you, a free education, and just all you have to do is just go to class. But it wasn't about the classes or anything. It was about just being there and being out there. And the coaches, as long as I was winning games, that was the most important thing. No matter what you do, young people, always take advantage of what you're doing in your life and on the field, or on the basketball court. Always be the best you can be, not only on the field, on the court, but be the best gentleman, the best person that you can be. Go to class. It's very important. Education will take you a long way. You can play pro ball and everything else. Education will take you a long way. And you have the opportunity, especially now, to do whatever you want to do. Just be positive and go for it.
Absolutely. Danette, what do you have to add to this part of the conversation as we're wanting to leave messages for young people or anybody right now? When what would you want to say, you know, after listening to Owen and everything else that we've talked about today?
I would agree with Mr. Williams, with Owen, that education is definitely a must. Never settle for just, you know, a high school diploma. Always persevere and try your best to attain a degree of some sort. Also, embrace your talents. Look for what you can do best and you know, go for it. And if you have any talents, for example, arts, you know, work on that. There, don't, like what Owen explained, especially with the young athletes of today, it's, yes, winning is fine, but you also have to educate yourself, because that's the most important, one of the most important things that you can do for yourself. Without an education, life is, you know, becomes extremely complex. So I would advise all the young people out there, yes, it's great to embrace your talents and do well at it, but also don't let yourself go as far as your educational success. It's extremely crucial and important.
Absolutely. Everybody wants to have a future. And our future doesn't always shape up to be the way we thought it would be. Sometimes it does, and that's wonderful. But sometimes our journeys take us down roads we had not expected. So the better prepared we are, the better we'll do. And, you know, we've talked a lot directing our conversation to young people, and there's no disrespect to all of our young listeners out there. It's just simply that we want you to benefit from our life journey, and if something we can say can help you in your own decision-making process, then we feel really, really proud just to even know that we could put something out there that somebody might be a lifeline for someone. So tonight sounds like we're throwing out a lot of lifelines to somebody who may be looking. One thing I wanted to add to the conversation also is that in terms of lifelines, you know, we all need somebody to talk to. So in addition to everything else Mr. Ned and Mr. Owen have shared on the show today, I want to also say look out for the lifelines that are available to you each and every day of your life. Talk to somebody if you're going through some hard times and have some allies, people who will stand by you no matter what. You know, don't try to feel like I got this, I can handle this all by myself. The gift in having a beloved community is knowing that there's somebody there that's got your back, and then for you to have the courage to reach out. I want to switch now and talk about a project that's coming up. Actually, it's called 20 Million Women Strong, and this is a program. It's a vision that, as a founder, that I had some months ago, and it was about gathering 20 million women and their voices, their prayers, their artistry, whatever it is they want to bring forward, to engage in various activities together over the course of the year. So we're here at the beginning, almost at the launch day, of 20 Million Women Strong, a movement around the world for children, families, and the earth. It is born out of the conviction that when women stand up together, change happens, and now is the time to create a shift in the consciousness that determines the conditions of women, children, families, and the earth. You know, I got tired of listening, and every time I look on Facebook, I look on, you know, look on the computer, I look at the news, all I'm hearing about is negative, 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 negative. And, you know, after a while, I started to get trapped into all of that, you know, and what did this person have to say today or that person, and, you know, what decisions are being made by our political leaders and so forth. And then one day I just got to the point where I realized plugging into that is only feeding fear and negativity within me. But when I plug into that spirit within and then begin to look around and see I'm not the only one that feels that the answer to everything is within, that we could start a movement to raise our voices, to lift every voice for change, to lift every voice for what is really true. And the truth is that there is a divine source that permeates the universe, and we're a part of that, and we have an opportunity to shift the consciousness by just simply holding the highest level of consciousness, the highest good, not only for ourselves but for all of humanity. And while we stand knowing that, we are connected, that I'm holding my vision, you're holding your vision, and all of us are holding this vision. We're connected. We're creating our own web, our web of possibility, our life-giving web that allows our prayers and our stories and everything that is within us to be expressed in a way that can and will transform the world around us, beginning with this false idea that we are separate, because we're not. We are part of one with God, one with our communities, one with nature, and one with each other. So I want to extend an invitation for you to go visit 20millionwomenstrong.org on the web. Find out about what we're doing. Find out about the global action days that we're going to have activities happening around the world simultaneously to give more and more energy and drive to this consciousness-raising experience. We're going to have our first event on the International Day of Peace, which is September 21st, 2019. So that's right around the corner, just a few weeks away, the International Day of Peace. The official launch of the 20 Million Women Strong is going to take place in Selma, Alabama at the Edmund Pettus Bridge, and we're calling this the Lift Every Voice Women's March, the kickoff for 20 Million Women Strong that starts on September 21st, 2019 and will end on September 21st, 2020. We encourage those of you who cannot make it to Alabama for the Lift Every Voice Women's March at the Edmund Pettus Bridge. If you can't get there, host an event in your community, take pictures, and post it to our Facebook page, which is 20 Million Women Strong as well. You can actually go to our website and hit the link, and it'll take you right to our Facebook page where you can post your prayers, you can post your events and pictures. We just want to make sure we're all connected, and there's a solidarity among the sisterhood across this planet for better care of our children, better care of the planet and our families, and better care of women. We are an important part of the shift and the change. And men, no, we're not leaving you out, because even my brother here, Owen, is leading up the men who support 20 Million Strong. It's just that at this time, it's the voices of the women that are being lifted up to ensure a brighter day in the future. Danette, you've been involved with us in the planning of 20 Million Women Strong. What's the energy feeling like around it? Is it catching momentum, or do you feel like we still got a long way to go? Talk to me.
I am extremely elated to be a part of the 20 Million Women Strong. I believe that it is going to be a blessing to women, giving them the opportunity to have their voice heard, giving them the opportunity also to share their art, their talents, and also, most importantly, letting them know that by being able to open up and speak out, changes can take place within their community and also globally. I think it's a excellent movement, and I'm very happy to be a part of this movement.
I want to, before we close, I want to go to a speech that was given in 1854 by Chief Seattle, and I'm going to play that, and then we're going to go out talking about the importance of us being mindful of climate change, global warming, what's happening on the earth. But let's listen to Chief Seattle.
The great chief in Washington sends word that he wishes to buy our land. He asks much of us. This land is sacred to us. How can you buy or sell the sky, the rain, and the wind? The idea is strange to us. If we do not own the freshness of the air and the sparkle of the water, how can you buy them? Every part of this earth is sacred to my people. Every shining pine needle, every sandy shore, every mist in the dark woods, every clearing and humming insect is holy in the memory and experience of my people. The sap which courses through the trees carries the memories of the red man. The rocky crests, the meadows, the ponies, and man all belong to the same family. The perfumed flowers are our sisters, the deer, the bear, the great eagle, these are our brothers. The rivers quench our thirst, they carry our canoes and feed our children. This shining water that moves in the streams and rivers is not just water, but the blood of our ancestors. Each ghostly reflection in the clear water of the lakes tells of events and memories in the life of my people. The water's murmur is the voice of my father's father. Our ways are different from your ways. The sight of your city paints the eyes of the red man. There is no quiet place in the white man's cities. No place to hear the unfurling of leaves in spring, or the rustle of an insect wing. The clatter only seems to insult the ears. And what is life there, if a man cannot hear the voices of the nightjar or the frogs around the pond at night? I've seen 1,000 rotting buffaloes on the prairie, left by the white man who shot them from passing trail. I do not understand how the smoking iron horse can be more important than the buffalo that we kill only to stay alive. What is man without the beasts? If all the beasts were gone, man would die from a great loneliness of spirit. The earth is our mother. Whatever befalls the earth, befalls the sons of the earth. The earth does not belong to man. Man belongs to the earth. Man did not weave the web of life. He is merely a strand in it. Whatever he does to the web, he does to himself. Even the white man whose guard walked and talked with him as friend to friend cannot be exempt from the common destiny. It is the order of nature, and the regret is useless. We may be brothers after all. We will see. Where is the thicket? Gone. Where is the eagle? Gone. The end of living and the beginning of survival.
The end of living and the beginning of survival. Is that the threshold that we've crossed now? As we look around us, are we really living or are we just surviving? And what does that really mean? Where do we find the hope to rekindle the fires of honoring the earth, of finding the beauty and grace that exists all around us? Or have we simply moved beyond that point? I know I live out in the country, out in nature. When I wake up every morning, the first thing I do is stand at my mirror and look out over the land, and it fills me. So I want to be among the living. I claim to be among the living, and that's what 20 million women strong is all about, reinstating the living in all aspects of life. We're going to end the show with Danette. Doing a poem that she wrote years ago. So, Danette, why don't I let you take the mic? You'll be the last voice that is heard on Now Time Conversations. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Ms. Audrey. The title of this poem is Silence Destroys. I was motivated to write this poem because I am I'm so sorry, a victim of child sexual abuse, and where silence really almost destroyed my life. But let me go ahead and end our show with this poem, Silence Destroys. Don't you know there are millions out there in excruciating pain and fear? Why won't families hear? Why won't pastors care? Why won't people adhere to the law that's there? Don't you know? Law officials, they would do anything and go anywhere to find and help convict those criminals that one holds near. Unquestionably, these officials are ready and always in gear, but without a report, these horrendous acts vanish in air. Don't you know? Embarrassingly, our loved ones know that it's too filthy and low. They think, oh no, my mate, family member, or friend could never be a foe. Almost immediately, denial sets in, and they assume that the victim can bear the violation, the betrayal, the confusion, and the distress in fear. Don't you know God expects his people to refrain from being the devil's accomplice? For his sake, please take the time and put yourself in the victim's place. Don't attempt to ignore and bury what you've seen on that innocent face. Yes, it's real. Something has taken place, and it's called an unbearable crime. Without God, family support, the judicial system, it deteriorates the victim's mind and soul with time. Remember, silence destroys.
Mm. Thank you, Danette Williams and Owen Williams, for being on the very first episode of Now Time Conversations with Audrey Scott Williams. This has truly been a fantastic hour. I'm sure our listeners have had the opportunity to hear something special in each one of you, and I'm sure that it has been food for thought. If they think about what drives them, what directions do they want to go? Who are they really trying to be? Are they living or simply surviving? Sometimes, against all odds, we are seeking the higher ground, and you both have been an inspiration to my listeners to help satisfy some of that soulful yearning to live our best life. Thank you so much for being on Now Time Conversations on Now Time Radio.